I'm always very grateful, since Ruth has been here, that there's something for the shorter people in the pulpit that lifts you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to sit down? Those of you who remember my preacher would have, I'd like to give you a text at the start. It's a very short one today. I think everybody could actually remember it. It's Acts chapter 2, and it's the first two words of verse 42. They continued. I think we can all remember that, can't we? They continued. In a moment, we'll look at what they continue doing. But let's just pick up that theme. It's run through several things already this morning, remarks that Bob made, the introits that we sang and so on. And that is that the Christian life and the life of the Christian church is in fact a journey, or if you want to have a fancy word, a pilgrimage, and it's actually going somewhere. And this church has been on a pilgrimage, just going back not all that far, to the 1980s, when Chris Drummond came, big change in this church. He was the first of the part-time vicars. And it's interesting that from the time of the part-time vicars, the church started growing. There might be a message there somewhere. But Chris and his wife came. There was a congregation of about 15, I think I'm right in saying, when he came. And they began a family service. They started something called Tiny Tots, for mums and toddlers. They introduced the modern language services, and, you know, things began to happen. He was here for 5 years. That was very nice. He'd done all the awkward things. He'd done all those things that people might have resented, you know, did all the changes. And then I turned up, and I was all right because I didn't have any changes to make. It was brilliant. So I was here, and during the time I was here, I was joined as a colleague by Robert Eady, of no fixed address. He's not of any fixed address now, because he's moving. Bob was ordained deacon, which is the sort of probationary year, as you might say, but he got through that all right, in 1993, and then in 1994 he was priested, and then in 1995 I left. Then there was a sort of 2 years hiatus. I must word this carefully, but until the church wardens got their wish, and Bob was eventually appointed the incumbent, which is a fancy way of saying vicar, part-time, a priest in charge of this parish. There's a list up there of rectors of Ducklington since about 10-something or other. It certainly goes back 1,000 years, you know, 10 centuries, which is pretty remarkable. The last name has got Bob's on it, but it has the date he came, but it doesn't have the date when he left. So somebody, perhaps one of the church wardens today, might like to write it in. Because, you know, we all come and we go, but the life of the church continues. It's not about vicars. It's about, well, we sang it at the start, it's about people. It's about the people of God. It's about this wonderful community that came into birth on the day of Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's not, you know, coming and just singing hymns and doing religious things. It's about being Jesus Christ in the world, what we just sang about in that wonderful hymn. So it brings us up to date. At this moment, in consultation with the congregation, the wardens and the bishop will be thinking about who is going to be the next rector. It is now, it's got promotion. This is now proper parish of St. Bartholomew's Ducklington. And what a joy it is to come back and see the place bursting with life. Loads of children as usual, families. I wondered as I drove in this morning, had I got it wrong? Was this Fritillary Sunday? I mean, I arrived at 8:55, there was absolutely nowhere to park. It's a good sign. I like it because it means that the people in the village know that the church is alive and well. And that's true every Sunday. It's not, never get my place to park. It's not fair when I come here. They continued. Now, what did they continue? Because that's the important thing today. Church doesn't stop with a change of minister stroke pastor stroke priest. That's not the crucial thing. The church is all of us, all the people of God in this place, and the church continues. Now, what did they continue doing? They continued. Now, this verse is just after all sorts of huge things that happened. The crucifixion of Jesus, his resurrection from the dead, his appearance to the disciples for 40 days. Then, what we've just celebrated, his departure from them. He withdrew from them, says the gospel, and wasn't around anymore physically or visibly. And then the what we celebrate next week, which is Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of these amazing things that happened. And on the Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Peter preached, the Apostle Peter preached, and 2,000 people, Jewish people, decided that they wanted to follow Jesus Christ and that he was their Messiah, and they were baptized. So there was 2,000 new Christians, 11 apostles, the other disciples, there were 120 of them, it says in Acts, men and women, and that was the church. So 2,131. And this was what they continued to do. After this amazing day, the 3,000 people, 3,000 people were baptized, not two. Don't know how I get these numbers wrong, that's silly, isn't it? Usually we exaggerate them. Vicars are brilliant at exaggerating. But it was 3,000, so 3,131 people. And what did they do? They continued. Now, what did they continue? Well, they continued, first of all, in the apostles' teaching. That's to say, they continued to believe what they'd come to believe and to grow in it. And you grow in your knowledge and love of the faith by asking questions, by, I suppose, sometimes listening to sermons, reading your Bible, being in a group that studies the Bible together, wanting to know more and more. The Christian faith is a profound and thrilling experience. But you've got to get into it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, in other words, they wanted to believe what the apostles believed, and the apostles believed what Jesus had taught them, and they crucially believed that Jesus, whom they'd followed, Jesus of Nazareth, was in fact the Messiah of the Jews, but he was more than that. He was the Son of God, and God had, in a miraculous way, raised him from the dead. So that's what they continued in. So the church here, I am confident, will continue in the apostles' teaching. They continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It's a lovely word that's translated fellowship. The trouble is we've rather made fellowship into a sort of soppy word. You know, we add it to everything. You have a women's fellowship, a men's fellowship, a youth fellowship, you know, people who can't be bothered to do anything else fellowship. And I sometimes think, you know, there's a great danger that over the door of the church it says something like, the more we are together, the happier we will be. Doesn't actually follow. This fellowship that's talked about here, the word literally means partnership. When you are baptized, when you make a decision to follow Christ, you're not joining nothing, you're joining something. If you are, that whole process is called being born again. Well, children are born into a family, and we are born into a family, and the family is the Christian church. So we continue in this partnership. We join together to do something, and that's what we were singing about in that last hymn. Those are the things that we've been called to do together. At the end of this service, we will be sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work to God's praise and glory. We're sent out at the end. Church isn't about being a cozy little gathering on Sunday. It's about a dynamic movement to make the world a better place. And sorry if I sound like a politician in the general election. This is a real promise. I promise it's a real copper-bottomed promise. They continued in the apostles' teaching and the apostles' fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread. Well, we should do that this morning. That's the original name for the communion service. And that service, as we join to share bread and wine, is an obedience to the last command of Jesus on earth. Do this in remembrance of me. And the fascinating thing is that all through the 2,000 more years of the Christian church, Christians have done it. That they're doing it today, all over the world, doing it in I don't know how many thousand different languages, doing it in all sorts of different cultures, doing it in all sorts of different ways, in magnificent cathedrals, in little meeting halls, you know, in people's homes. They broke bread. They continued in the breaking of bread, and they continued in the prayers. The heart of that church was prayer. The prayers they continued in then were probably the prayers of the temple, the Jewish prayers. But soon we find in the Acts of the Apostles that they were praying spontaneously, they were praying for each other. And the consequence of continuing like that in those four things, the apostles' teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer, the result of it was spectacular. What they decided was that they would share everything they had. All that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and distributed the proceeds to everybody so that nobody was short, nobody went short. And they broke bread at home and ate their food with, listen to this, glad and generous hearts. And we sang about that in that introit. This was a church that really buzzed, but it buzzed by going out, not by looking in. This is a church, you know, that was contributing to the food bank, as you might say. This was a church that cared about people, that made sure that none of its members was in need. And indeed, when they saw poverty or need, they would seek to do something about it. So they continued. They continued to live out those four principles, and the result was remarkable, because the end of this passage is this: and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This was not only a believing church, a church of rich and warm fellowship and friendship, a church that solemnly and sincerely broke bread in remembrance of Jesus, and a church that prayed. But it was a church that grew. It doesn't say anything here about conducting a mission to Jerusalem. It just happened. Wouldn't you want to join a church like that? They didn't have to put up, you know, big posters. People thought, gosh, this is good. Let's go along and find out. And it says that everybody who believed was in common, and they had the respect of all the people. If we continue, now Bob and Ruth are going. Well, that the disciples had the great loss just a few days before of Jesus saying goodbye to them. And they were never going to see him on earth again. That's even a bit more significant than losing Bob and Ruth. I think you'd agree. And now they're being told, what should you do? Continue. And what should this church do? Continue. Go on doing. Go on walking the journey. Go on that pilgrimage of faith. Go on being the church in this place. There is nothing like being what God wants us to be. And that's what we're called to do. To be what God wants us to be in this place. In this lovely village of Ducklington, in this district of Oxfordshire, in this gorgeous countryside setting on this lovely May Day, to go out, send us out, we pray. We will at the end. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. They continued. People of God in St. Bartholomew's Ducklington, please pledge yourself today to continue in that teaching and fellowship in prayer and service and love and breaking of bread and in seeing God at work here in this place.